a real deal. I'll shoot your liver out and hand it to you.
What's going on, everybody? Nate here. I did an interview with Emily Frazier today live on Facebook, so I am just releasing this now as a podcast form. And of course, I wanted to get a couple of announcements out of the way. I am leaving for Vegas in about 2.5 hours, so I am going to be gone for the next 8 days playing at the VNEA National event. If you're around the Vegas area and want to come say hi, please feel free to reach out to me or the podcast page, and we can grab a drink at any point in time. Please let me know. But before that, I want to get some of the announcements before we get into this actual interview. So I do have a Patreon update. I do want to thank very much. Let me actually get this out here really quickly. Let's see here. Who was it? Don't at me. Nate Tom, I hope I pronounced that right. Nate Tom, thank you very much for joining the Patreon family and participating right away with a couple of posts. I know you got in, and I think you checked out a lot of the stuff that we have behind the scenes to offer. There's a lot of instructional stuff in there. There's a Monday night lesson. There's a bunch of insider information. There's announcements that are made that are coming up. We have a couple of really cool apparel announcements that are coming up soon that anybody on the Patreon already knows about. But the rest of you should be finding out about pretty soon, I would say. So if you wanted to always, of course, get all of this insider information first, you could join the Patreon system at patreon.com/queueitup. We are also running our little bonus for the people who sign up, and as well as the Patreons that already exist. If you join the Patreon in the next 1 month and 2 days, you are going to be entered into a drawing to win a Propel jump cue, as well as two various McDermott packages that I have in a bag, and I'm not even honestly sure what's in them. I forgot. I know one has a jersey and a glove, and yeah, I think the other one has, I don't even remember what's in there. I packed them up so long ago, and they're sealed and ready to go. So there's going to be two of those prizes. We're also going to be giving away a Jeanette Lee signed cue ball, so lots of prizes. And really, the point of them is to set ourselves up for the financial security of the future with the podcast so that we can continue innovating and doing the things that we're doing here and continue growing along with the rest of the industry that seems to be booming right now. So if you're interested in helping to support the future of this podcast, as well as the streams and all that good stuff, this is a great way to do so. If you would like, and of course the podcast is going to be free no matter what, but there's still bonuses that you get for being a part of it, like you get video of all of the podcasts, so it's not just the audio form, you actually get the video of it. So, for example, I did a podcast with Pia Filler today, and we're going to release that as audio, but you guys are all going to get to see it as video as well. So a small little perk there that you get, as well as you get them released immediately. You don't have to worry about waiting for me to release something. So I'm going to be releasing the Pia Filler episode on either probably Monday or Tuesday of this week. But you're going to get access to it today if you're a Patreon. So you get exclusive, I would say, first rights to all of the podcasts. Pretty exciting stuff. And as well as you get some welcome packages of apparel and patches and stuff like that. So it's just a small way of saying thank you and making it, I don't know, I guess a reason for you guys to sign up and help us with the future of the podcast. So with that out of the way, let me just jump right into the podcast. So here is the interview with Emily Frazier. Exciting stuff. We'll give just a couple of seconds to let some people start building up in here before we start going crazy with questions. But okay. Have you had a chance to breathe?
A little bit. I'm going to go see my parents tonight and just have like a little chill out just with them, just to chill, relax a little bit if we can.
So just a tiny little bit of reality before before the sinkhole of Matchroom events all the time starts back up again.
Mental. Well, we do it to ourselves, so I've got no one to blame. for us. So I won't sit here and complain about it, but it's obviously fantastic. So I don't think we've ever had a pool tournament sort of back to back like that we have done with the World Cup, the World Pool Masters and the World Pool Championship. So it's definitely good for the sport because everyone's still talking about it. The players are in stroke. And one thing that I definitely noticed at the World Pool Masters, and I don't know whether it was the sunny sights of Gibraltar, but the players just seemed really happy. They just seemed to like sort of win or lose, be enjoying themselves there in the environment. I think it was, we changed venue and it was in a modern sports complex. You know, the hotel we were at was lovely. The weather was sunny and hot. I mean, half the players burnt themselves. But it just seemed like a really nice environment for them to just relax and enjoy themselves after obviously what's been a really tough 18 months. So that's one thing that we noticed, and it definitely has an impact on everyone that's to do with the event. Everyone just seemed happier and seemed to be enjoying themselves. And all we ever try to do is just create a good environment for the players, because it's about them at the end of the day. They're the ones out there at the table. We got to make sure they're happy.
Yeah, and I would say no disrespect to the Championship League pool. We'll be talking about that later on. But I would say that this is the first real, at least in the way that we've known it the last however many years, the real pool tournament back since COVID. For, 18 months? This is like the first real tournament of size since then.
Yeah, we had Championship League pool, the World Cup, which obviously was behind closed doors. But the World Pool Masters, even, you know, I think at one point we even had like 10 people in there. And then we went up to like 140. And it was just such a great atmosphere to have fans in there.
That was really cool.
Yeah, and they just interacted with the players. And then all of a sudden the players, when they were walking out, you know, there's no point us doing walk-on so much when we're behind closed doors. It's a little bit different for the Moscone Cup. But it just felt like the players could step out and enjoy themselves a bit more. And, you know, they were just, it was nice for them to wave to someone in the arena that wasn't sort of any of us and the cameraman. So it did feel like we were finally back following the World Pool Masters, and it gave us a little kickstart to get the World Pool Championship spectators in. Obviously, everyone in Gibraltar is vaccinated. So for them, there were no restrictions for COVID. There were no sort of social distancing. So spectators were allowed in the event. For here in the UK, it's obviously very different. And we have to go through lots of different measures to get spectators into our events. And that's something that we wanted to push for the World Championship, because we had a little taster for it in Gibraltar. And it made a huge, huge difference to the event. And so that's something that we wanted to do and create. So I think we've got like two tickets left to sell for the final of the World Pool Championship, which is fantastic. I mean, the setup is exactly the same as Gibraltar. You know, high tables and chairs, and we've
take my money. I want them.
But yeah, there's only about 120 people in for the final, but still, that's more than what we had in Gibraltar at certain times. And it's just going to be so fantastic for the players on this final table setup for this day. Yeah, we're just really, really excited. And hopefully, maybe we might even be able to sell a different package ticket for the event. So not sure. We'll see how we go the next week.
Yeah. So I think the I would say the most exciting part was when it kind of actually dawned on me that the fans were back. And I was watching Shane and Josh in the semis, and Shane missed a ball, and it was early on in the match. And I just hear somebody in the crowd scream, "Let's go, Josh!" Well, I'm just like,
"Sorry."
That's right. There's fans again. This is so cool.
Yeah, and even Shane said to me, you know, when he lost in the final, and he had a great start to that semi-final. It was a fantastic match to watch.
Oh, that was such a good match. If you have not seen that match, get over to YouTube and watch it.
Yeah, so we've got all of the highlights showing on our Matchroom Pool YouTube channel, which has been a really great addition to obviously our YouTube subscription holders. It's just so they obviously can catch the highlights of our events. So that's been a real good addition. But Shane turned around to me after the trophy presentation and I said, you know, he had a great start to that semi-final. And he just said, Emily, that so much pressure. You know, he said the tighter pockets, and he totally agrees that for a Masters event, that's how it should be. And that for Matchroom events, that's what it should be. But he said, there's too much pressure. He said, fans, pockets, the tournament, you know, he didn't participate at Championship League and the World Cup. So even though he's been practicing at home and, you know, he's been doing those practices, he hasn't been in the Matchroom arena for a very long time since the Moscone Cup, and, you know, Team USA kind of gave up halfway through. So when you think about it,
I don't know if they made it to halfway.
Yeah, maybe a quarter. He hasn't been in that pressured environment and he really, really felt it. So I'm pleased that he got as far as he did and he was a runner up. Because I think that's going to really set him up for the World Pool Championship coming up. Because it was a shame to see him lose out at the World Pool Championship, the last one, because I was obviously there in Qatar. And it was a shame to not see him go as deep. But I think runner-up after the Masters, I think he's going to have a really impressive championship.
Yeah, and we see that a lot. And Jenny Ann asks the question, so we can actually get this one out there, and kind of builds into what I was going to say. Do you think that having the back-to-back matches like that, do you think that I've seen this a lot where if you have such a grinder of a match with Shane and Josh, it really, really was. Do you think that that could have played a little bit of a role in that, in Shane not coming out as fiery in the finals, you think?
Well, potentially, but also we get it in other sports as well. You know, when we've done our World Ping Pong Championship, we've always had the second semi-finalist has always been at a disadvantage going into the final because they've just come off of a, you know, a really tight, brutal match. And now they've got to put everything into a final and they only get a 15-minute break. Previous years at the Masters, we haven't done a 15-minute break. It's been a quicker turnaround. But I think his semi-final was so tough that it did take a lot of it out of him. But then again, on the other side, you've got events like the US Open, events like the World Pool Championship, which are double elimination. And you're seeing race to 11s where they're going to have to come out, play this match and get back on the table. And it's a long, tough day for them, especially that US Open event. So I understand that coming out of the semi-final, going into the final, you know, it might have played its toll on Shane. But what we've got to do is to keep putting players into this environment and getting them used to it, but also trying to find a balance and see what we can achieve. But again, at the end of the day, we're live TV. You know, as much as I'd love to give Shane the whole evening off and, you know, a 4-hour break, that's not realistic in what we're doing. So we always have to try and find a balance. But it's something that we'll always keep an eye on.
Yeah. So I think that's you had kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but I wanted to kind of dive maybe a little bit deeper into this. This was the first time, or at least for a little while, that you've had this type of equipment on the World Pool Masters, or really any of the Matchroom events. Is this going to be a staple going forward on all events? Because I think I would be a bad idea from an American fan for the Moscone Cup. Please don't do it for the Moscone Cup.
Shane did say that to me. He was like, I love the tight pockets, but please don't do it for the Moscone.
Yes, please don't.
I think even when I first come on to Matchroom and I first did like my first pool tournament, I didn't even know what impact pockets had on, you know, obviously I had no idea about pool. But you're slowly sort of learning, and making the pockets tighter for this year was one of the best decisions we've ever done, because it made a Masters event and it produced, you know, the strongest winner, and it produced really dramatic matches. It really made it sort of a tough tournament, which is what it should be. We should obviously treat our events, you know, as to how they are individually. You know, the Moscone Cup is something slightly different, but one thing we're trying to do at Matchroom Pool is to, we're trying to keep all of our events streamlined and consistent. So when players turn up, they know what the rules are, and they kind of know what the script is. So in an ideal world, I'd love to be able to have the same pocket sizes for all our events, because our events should be the toughest and our events should produce the best winner and our events should be the top quality. But on the other hand, we need to be realistic about easing players in and not sort of running before we can walk. So changing the pockets to tighter for the Masters was the first step. And we're just going to take it as it comes and see what we can sort of do for the rest of them.
Yeah. So I think I think it's a good idea. Let's go back for a little while to the Championship League pool, because, of course, that was the first event that this was, I guess, the inaugural one. We have Joshua Filler as the – no, Josh, Albin Ocean as the inaugural winner, which was a little bit of a surprise maybe with how he played in the – he barely even qualified for the finals. But I guess taking a step away from that event, how did you think it went? Is this something we're going to see more of in the future?
Look, I think it was a fantastic event, and I've said it before. We obviously have a great concept in Championship League where we've produced our snooker event, and we now do two a year, which so we've proven that the format works really well in Q Sport. So we've always wanted to do Championship League pool, but it was hard to find the right time to do it. It was hard to find the budget to be able to do it. But behind closed doors, with the support of Predator, we managed to get it over the line, and we produced 8 hours of, you know, 10 hours a day live pool, in a time where no live professional pool was really happening. So it was incredible. Our viewing figures were off the chart. And we produced some really great matches. I mean, when Albin qualified in that last group for the winners, we knew all of us there in that sort of bubble that he was going to go on to win it, because you could just tell, you know, even though it was a slog every day for him.
Finally found a gear.
Yeah, and you could just tell that he had it in him where he was going to win, and you just knew that that's what was going to happen. But moving forward, you know, Championship, once we do an event, we like to stick with it. So Championship League pool will be returning. So we just need to find another place for it in the calendar, and whether... You know, it'd be great to be able to start with seven players off of our world rankings who, because they're the top seven, they get to choose what group they go into, which is kind of what we do on the snooker. But obviously it was the first time we were doing the event. We had a lot of dropouts. I think I had about 40 people that declined coming into Championship League pool, with a lot of the Asian players not actually traveling at the moment. So something we'd like to do moving forward is, you know, the top seven get invited off of the rankings, and yeah, they choose which group to go into, and we fill it up like that. And then it's great to have, you know, ranking points rewarded for the winners group. So it's here to stay. I think it was an incredible event, and we've sparked like a new format in pool that we've not really done before. It gave people a following each day to see what new players were coming in, and they could figure out, you know, where players were and in the table. And it was exciting. It was different. And that's what we're aiming to do at Matchroom Pool, to just introduce these new quirky events and obviously just expand it.
All right, so now the complaining starts. I thought the Championship League pool was terrible because I didn't get anything done for 8 days. My productivity went straight to the tank. I don't think I did one productive thing in my life for 8 straight days, because all I was doing was watching pool. It was awful.
What was most exciting about it? Because you had something to follow each day.
I couldn't take my eyes off it. It was fantastic. Those race to fives, they're so short. They're so exciting. Everything. I mean, I was hoping that by the end of it, like the last maybe two matches of they would be completely irrelevant, because the last two matches were, you know, it didn't have anything to do with who was going to make the qualifiers or who was going to be, you know, going home. I was just hoping that it was like between a second and third place and there was nothing changing, so I could finally take a little bit of a rest away and try to get something done. It was so exciting. I couldn't take my eyes off. It was, it really, I mean, call me a, call me a suck up, but the Championship League pool was awesome. It was really great.
Still doing Race to Five and giving, I know it was only sort of one day that, you know, people had to travel, and it seemed like, you know, Chris Robertson turned up Group One and he got booted out that same group. And obviously it felt like it was a long travel for that one day, but you do, with the format side of it, you do get a few chances to try and obviously get high up in the table. But it's not just you winning 5-3, for instance. You know that you're winning your matches 5-0, 5-0, for instance, your racks against you is obviously going to contribute to where you finish in the table. So there's so much more thinking behind it. And we were finding some players had absolutely no idea when they were out there playing, whether they had just knocked out a player or they just got through to the next group. You know, so, and but others had really sort of read the format, got clued up on it and knew exactly what to do to sort of come in. But It was very different, and there's obviously always a few tweaks to certain things, but we've got an incredible concept, and we're going to keep moving forward with it.
Yep, I agree. So let's talk about so the first 2 days. If there was any complaints walking away from it, the first 2 days were just way too long, right? And instead of, you know, just kind of riding it out, you guys decided to learn on the fly and you adapted the shot clock, which I want to say it trimmed off about, was it about 2.5 hours off of the day three, which I think shows the ability to learn and adjust and to grow as you're doing these events. Yeah. Did you want to talk a little about that?
Well, we were going to do a shot clock. We always want a shot clock in our events. And the only reason why we didn't do it to start off with was purely because of money. Whenever we do a shot clock, we like to do it how we usually do it at the event, you know, in incorporated into our production. And unfortunately, with the live stream, it was just something that we didn't have the budget to do. So that is why we removed the shot clock for the event. Then we also had a backup plan if it did overrun, to incorporate the shot clock with just two people sat there with stopwatches. But obviously that's not how we like to do things. That was only a backup plan. And then we also had, we basically looked into a new company for our graphic system. There's always been the same company we've always used here in the UK, and like any other business, we like to explore different options, and we didn't have one for Championship League due to budgets. And then we looked at a different company for the World Cup of Pool. We learned from that mistake. We shouldn't have used the new company for the World Cup. And fortunately, the World Pool Masters, we bought back our old company and we didn't have any shot clock problems. So I don't think I have it in me to talk any more about the shot clock other than the fact that we've learned our lesson. We always need to deliver the best. And we know that our events are better and stronger with a shot clock. And that's how we will continue. So that's all you're talking about, I mean, the shot clock.
Yeah, I think it's the best way to enjoy the game as well, right? Because it keeps things very fast paced. And I think that's exciting for whether you're a diehard pool fan or whether you've never watched a match of pool in your life, to keep things moving, to keep the match progressing. I think it's the best way to view the matches personally.
We had a chat about it as well coming up to the World Pool Championship, that event and the US Open was set at 40 seconds shot clock, but how Championship League pool went, we don't really see the difference in a 30 second or a 40 second. You know, the differences are just, they're just too similar when it comes to it. And we'd like again to touch base on the consistency of match and pool events. So all our events moving forward will have a 30 second shot clock moving on, just to keep it consistent. Players know what to expect when they turn up at Matchroom event. And it's the best way to move forward to commercialize and to expand the sport.
Yep, I agree. So let's talk a little bit now about the upcoming event, of course, because we are going to be having the World Nine Ball starting up very soon. Are you ready yet, or you just want a little bit of, you got to just want a little bit of a break at this point, I think.
No, look, I think it's been fantastic that we've been producing back-to-back pool events, like I touched base on earlier. I think the players are enjoying it. the fans are enjoying it, and it's definitely something that we want to move forward with, that we go from tournament to tournament, we keep people talking, we keep the sport running, we keep Paul on TV. So we'd all love a break. We can have a break after the World Pool Championship and we can all take a holiday at that point. But our priority right now is the World Championship, which is the biggest event in the sport. All of the 8-ball, 9-ball, 10-ball, this World Pool Championship is the biggest event in pool. It's across everywhere in the world, every broadcaster, because again, it's the world's. You know, it's going to be set up quite differently. It's going to look quite cool. It's not going to be, if it was, you know, we didn't have COVID and things like that, obviously it would be great to have spectators from day one, and to have sort of a different atmosphere. But we're in the environment that we're in, and we're working to what, you know, what we've got. And we don't have the 128 field that, you know, that we would ideally want from the start. But we do have 128 players who are all going to produce some phenomenal matches. And I just think this day one, June the 6th, is when Fedor, the reigning champion, walks out amongst the 16 tables live on TV. He's going to literally have goosebumps all down his body. And it's just going to make the hairs on the back of the neck stand up of every player in that arena. And that's what we should be doing for the World Championship. So as far as we're all concerned, let's just have a little like break this weekend. We already had a big production meeting on Thursday when we landed from Gibraltar. You know, we've got our teams are all over it. We're making sure we've got enough people on site. But it's a multi-table event for us, which we're not used to doing. The last one that we did was the US Open, 33 tables in 2019. The first time we've ever done a big multi-table event. Lots of challenges, but we've sort of experienced that, and we're sort of 2 years on. We're now going to be doing 16 tables. So we're just going to run with it, see what we can do, and all we can do is just to keep trying and keep working hard, and hopefully we'll deliver.
So I think... I have to assume that you're probably going to have one featured table. Are we going to have the ability to get cameras on other tables just for in between racks while it's racking or anything like that? Or is it still just going to be the one main production table, and that's the commentators giving some voiceover to, you know, updates on the side tables?
We'll have our main TV table as normal, because obviously we have to ensure that we deliver a top quality package to all of our broadcasters. But at the same time, we still want to feature the other 15 tables that are happening. It is year one of the event, and so we're not able to feature every one of those 15 tables throughout the broadcast as we want to. However, we will have various sort of like roving reporters and other cameras set up in the rest of the arena, so people can see obviously what's happening and what's going on. So when you tune in, it's not going to look like we're just a one table event. When you tune in, you're going to see that there's 16 tables in this MK arena. It's definitely going to be very different. But again, it's the first year that we're doing it. We can't use all or show every table that we've got. But we do have obviously our live scoring system. So whether you've got your tablet, your laptop or your phone set up on Sky Go with Sky Sports or the DAZN platform or even Matchroom Live, you can watch it on there. But then you can also have the overall Q Score app to see what the scores are on all of the other tables. So we'll be giving enough information out as we can.
Yep, that's awesome. So Jim Telfer asks, and the only reason I ask this is because I see Claire Watts is out here watching as well. I'm pretty sure she's going to be a referee for this event. Is there going to be a dedicated referee at each table?
Not at each table. We're adopting the same style we did at the US Open. So we will have our top referees that will be overseeing areas of the whole tournament. And we will also be having a score controller and a shot clock operator at each table. However, we feel that we have more senior referees that will be overseeing a lot of the tables. So we feel that the players will probably be able to speak to more senior referees during matches if there are any problems. So I think we're in a much better position than we were at the US Open. Again, ideally, we'd like to have a referee at every table. But there's a reason why, you know, no pool events are doing that right now. There aren't enough referees to be doing that. So we're doing it the way that we think will work best with what we've got.
Gotcha. All right. So why don't you give the time frame for this event? And of course, if you live under a rock and you still don't know how to find a Matchroom events, how they can go about finding where they can watch this from.
Just go to matchroompool.com and literally everything is in there. It will have live scores. It will show you exactly where, what country you're in and what broadcaster you can watch it on. It will show you what the draw bracket is when that's live. It will show you where you can buy tickets if there's tickets available. Matchroompool.com has all of our six events on, the world rankings on there as well. So that is the one place where you're going to get everything.
It's your one-stop shop for all your pool needs. Mm-hmm. Right there. And if people want to, so this is the really exciting thing I think I found about this stretch was the only time I remember in my life that just about everybody who can hold a pool cue or regularly holds a pool cue cares enough to follow along with what's happening. Everybody on every forum is talking about the Masters or the CLP. And I think it's really a testament to where the sport is going. And Matchroom is trying to maybe build upon this, maybe take advantage of it, maybe try to help grow it. But you guys have created your own forum that if people have not heard about yet, it is the Matchroom Pool Forum. And you can find that at the on the page for Matchroom. But here is the link for it as well. You can see it down at the bottom. And that is where you can actually go. You can ask questions. You can create discussions, create polls. A lot of people have really been taking advantage of that during the Masters. Is that something that you wanted to touch on at all briefly?
Yeah, and it was a cool idea from the guys in the office as well. And it's really significantly grown in the last 6 weeks, obviously, where we've had events on. And it's been a fantastic, like, obviously, I'm a member for it, and I get notified every time that someone posts link in there. And to be quite honest with you, there's some interesting stuff that goes in, and it highlights, you know, what's happening. It highlights what people are enjoying. And, you know, people have their own take on, you know, why an event happens like that or why a player is certainly picked. And it opens your eyes as to what people are thinking about the events. And it gives us an opportunity also to see what people are enjoying. But also it also gives people the fun and enjoyment to all chat with one another about the events that are coming up. And obviously during an event, I think there's been a few comments in there recently where I've sort of looked and gone, oh, right, okay, yeah, that's an idea sort of thing. But it's good. It's the guys in the office are just, I think what's so fantastic about what's happening right now is, and I touch base on it again, is that we are going back to back with events. And I say back to back, you know, it's a week or a couple of weeks in between. We've never done anything like that before. And it's keeping ourselves at Matchroom Pool excited, on our toes, because we need to produce the content for all the fans to sort of keep them up to speed. And it's keeping everything talking. It's keeping everyone going. The players, they're sort of going from one event to the next. And we're really enjoying it. And I think it's definitely something that moving forward, this is what we're going to sort of adopt. And beautifully, we've sort of come across this calendar, which we said, right, we go. The only reason we did these back to back was to try and keep the international players here in the UK, because we wanted to ensure that we had a full international field for all of our events. For us, we know that it's difficult for, you know, an American player or, you know, sort of any player that's not in Europe or the UK to come here for the World Cup, to then go home and then come back for the Masters, then go home and come back for the World Pool Championship. And we found it was a lot easier for international players to come here to the UK. And, you know, we've got them tables set up at MK Arena at the moment that are just stayed up there. So they have somewhere to be. You know, I think Pia and Josh, you know, they're going to see the darts. They went and saw the darts last night because they're over at MK. We're just trying to make it as accommodating as possible to keep the players here. But in this situation and in light of the situation, we've now realized that putting these events back to back creates talk and it only expands things for us. So it's definitely very exciting. I love the forum. I love the ideas and the chats that people are bringing into it. And it's great that the fans are being able to communicate and interact about our events.
Yeah. And I think with the way that, with the way that you guys have ran these events too, there's Matchroom has a lot of haters, right? Anytime that you're going to be at the top, you're going to have a lot of haters. And what I'm finding out is even with like the, you know, the people who just can't stand anything the Matchroom does, I've been seeing in the last few weeks that people have been giving it up saying, you know, all right, they're doing a pretty good job. And I think you guys are turning a corner with it. And I think having back-to-back-to-back professional high quality events at, you know, at the top level, I think this really kind of helps to show what you guys can do and how you, this potentially could be the future, right? In golf, we see that there's a tournament every single week with a professional quality camera production. Everything is perfectly done all the time with all these golf events. And I think what we're kind of getting a taste of this is what the future of pool can look like as well. I mean, if you guys can expand your calendar, get more things out on the calendar, and there's a lot of stuff that you guys can do, and I think you're really turning some eyes to this.
Yeah, well, I think it's hard to criticize us when I think a lot of people, if you genuinely sort of know the individuals that work on Matchroom Pool, it's hard to criticize when all we want to do is just deliver a great event and expand the audience and obviously grow the sport. So everything that we do has passion in it, excitement, eagerness, and all we want to do is just grow pool. So it is very hard, and I think that's now becoming a lot more apparent. So it is hard to kind of criticize us, but also we're here to listen. You know, Albin Alshan messaged me when we released our rankings from following the World Pool Masters, and obviously he won Championship League Pool. He had certain rankings awarded to that, and he turned around and said, look, I'm not sure about this, that, and that, and so we had a chat about it. I listened to him and he brought up some really you know, valid points, and even sort of Corey Jewell mentioned, you know, why isn't our rankings off of prize money, like why is it not like that? So I think the one thing that we need to start showing is that we are here to listen to any points that are being raised, because we're not always going to get it right every time. But all we want to do is to grow the sport, and we want to produce a year sort of career earner for these players. Because at the moment, that's not what's happening. You know, there's not enough money in the sport. And I just explained it to you then, to even get Championship League Pool over the line was so difficult because of budget. We cut the shot clock because of budget. You know, there isn't money in the sport. So all we've got to keep trying to do is to expand it, to work on it, you know, stage these events back to back, increase our viewing figures. Then we can talk about proper sponsorship companies and getting them on board. But right now, well, in the last 2 years, we weren't producing those kind of figures. All we're trying to do is we want to sit, we want to listen. We want to listen to the players when they've got certain ideas that they'll bring to the table. Obviously, there's a reason why we do things, because not everyone understands the different sort of components in order to make these events how we sort of do them live on TV. So there's a lot of different factors that contribute to getting these events live on TV. But I think we're doing a really good job of it. And, you know, people want to criticize, people want to hate on it, that's fine. As long as people are talking about the sport, that's all that it's all I care about.
Yeah. So let's move on to, I think, oh, we lost her. We lost her.
She's plugging my charger in.
Jim asks, when is Jim and I going to get invited to commentate for Matchroom? I'm guessing the answer is somewhere between now and never.
You have to go through a very long, qualifying list of being able to commentate in our events.
Yeah, So let's talk about the U.S. Open. Last time we talked, you really didn't have any news for it. You were still looking for venues. You were the dates were set, but you were still looking for venues. Is that still kind of where you're at?
Well, our dates might change slightly because, again, we're trying to find a good venue to do it in. We've actually got we've got some offers from different sort of casinos and hotels in various states in America. And we're just trying to find the right dates, find the right venue. And we're still working on it. So that's the only reason why we haven't heard any news. Like with anything we do, as soon as we've got news on it, we announce it. So you just got to sit tight, be patient. We're trying to get the US Open done. We're trying to get it done this year. And we're working as hard as we can to do it. But obviously, got a Whirlpool Championship coming up next week. So we're on the case, and we'll get information out as soon as we've got it.
So it sounds like it's not going to be in Vegas again.
I don't know, to be honest. It could be in Vegas, could be in Atlantic City, could be in Texas. There's a lot of different options right now. So all I can really say to you is that when we've got it, we'll let everyone know.
Gotcha. So then, Moskonica, when are we going to be able to get our tickets?
I want to say that after the Whirlpool Championship, we'll be in a position to get our tickets on sale and to announce the venue. But we might be doing a slight date change as well. Again, like I touched base on, there's a lot of factors to live events with different broadcasters that we have. So sometimes you might have to change the dates. Again, that's why we don't put things on sale until we're ready. So as soon as we're sorted, the information will be out.
Gotcha. Well, I that pretty much clears up most of the questions that I had for you. What do we get to look forward to in the future with Matchroom? I know that we had a Championship League pool introduced this year. Is there anything that you guys have on your radar, maybe, that you guys are trying to acquire, maybe something new that you're looking at incorporating? Is there anything you would like to break right here, right now?
No.
Oh, torture.
Look, we're always looking to expand. We're always looking to do more things. But I'm not telling all my secrets. So we've got a lot to work on. All I can keep asking, all I can keep doing is thanking all the fans for always tuning in, to signing up to DAZN, Sky Sports, Matchroom Live, and believing in the fact that we've got the best interests at heart for the fans and the players. And I want to thank the players as well for always supporting us in the decisions that we make. So just keep believing in what we're doing, and that Paul is literally in our heart, and we will take it to another level.
Yeah. And so the very last question that I have for you, and I'm not sure if you're even interested in answering this, but so when you guys really started doing, how do I wait this? You guys have been doing a lot of innovating and a lot of growing of the industry in the last, let's say, 4 to 5 years. Is there any sort of viewership numbers that you're willing to make public? Any sort of growth that you're looking? So we started at, this, and now we're up 33% on viewership. Is there anything like that you would talk about as far as the growth of the industry, so that everybody that's out there that's watching actually knows that what you guys are doing is really making a difference, and we're getting to a point where we can start actually looking at becoming relevant as a sport again?
I think the main thing that you've got to look at is that if this sport wasn't growing, we wouldn't be adding to our Matchroom pool stable. We would be removing it. So we're heading in the right direction. Hence, we've moved from 4 events to 5 events to 6 events. I did give some stats and some numbers in a last interview that I did shortly after Championship League pool to one of the writers at Billiards Digest, and I gave so many stats, you know, because we finished Championship League, and basically from the Moscone to Championship League, all of our social viewing and all of our digital platforms had all grown by 40%, showing that what the content the guys are putting out and what we're doing is really, really pushing. The viewing figures are increasing. They certainly are. And I gave all of these stats to the guys who called me and interviewed. So I was hoping that would be published somewhere, because it's no secret. We're quite happy to share all of this stuff. I mean, I don't have anything on here, but every event we do, every match room pool event we do, our aim is that we have to always push past the last viewing figures that we did for the event the year before. If we don't do it, then we have failed as a company and we have failed as a business. So our aim to all the individuals that work in Matchroom Pool and Matchroom Multisport is we have to always surpass our viewing figures on TV as well as social. And we never fail. We always, always surpass those. And I'm more than happy to, you know, we can sort of publish things like that. You know, like I said, it's not a secret. We are heading in the right direction. So that is always our aim. And it's always been the aim with the spectators at the Moscone Cup as well. We never sit in the same arena and we never take one step back when it comes to capacities. Obviously, we're a bit of a halt at the moment because we haven't had spectators because of COVID. But we must keep driving the viewing figures. The more enjoyable we make our events, i.e. tighter pockets at the Whirlpool Masters, it's more exciting. It's more dramatic for a casual sports fan to tune into. Again, we won't forget about our hardcore, incredible fans that we already have for the sport. But that's why it's so important that we don't clash events, that we're keeping the fans going to sort of one event a week that, you know, it's not clashing with any other pool events. Let's keep driving our viewing figures. We are 100% heading in the right direction, but we're not there yet. We are definitely not there yet. We have to keep trying. We have to keep doing what we're doing. And in the next couple of years, people might see something that they've never seen with pool before. We're determined to do that and we're passionate to do it. We just need the support from the players and the fans to keep pushing us in sort of that direction.
Yeah, I think you touched on something really interesting right there, because pool is one of the few sports, I would say, in the world that there are, I mean, if you look across the industry, I mean, there's almost thousands of different, like, small promoters, and there's a handful of bigger promoters. But the idea of coordinating that many people to get the clashing that you said down, it's really, really, really difficult to do. But that's why Matchroom posts their stuff well in advance. I mean, you guys are posting your stuff about a year in advance as far as dates. Is there anything that you can think of in your mind that could potentially start cutting down on some of these clashing with these events?
I think it's just people just waking up and realizing that this is a bigger picture to, you know, they have to actually look at these events and think, well, this isn't going to benefit you or me in clashing with a big event. It always used to be such a secret as to when our dates were, when the venue is. We're not about that. The way that we would like to go is we want to publish a Matchroom Pool calendar. We want to say to the players, this is when you're playing. This is when you've got to train up for the big events. And also it's a note to the fans. This is where you can come and watch the events. And obviously a bit different. We don't have spectators for this stuff at the moment. But also to the other promoters, this is when the big majors are happening in your sport, in our sport. So why clash with the World Pool Championship? It doesn't benefit anyone. It doesn't benefit the players. It doesn't benefit the fans. It doesn't benefit the promoters. Let's all work together. We want, as far as we're concerned, I want these other events and these other promoters to get bigger, because the bigger they are, the bigger we are. So I'm more than happy to work with everyone, but we need to just be sensible and think, oh, you know, it's not a case of, well, you're not going to lose viewership from the Matchroom events. Well, we are. We're asking a fan to tune into and to pay for two different events at the same time. Any person can realize that that's not good for the sport. I understand that there's going to be clashes at sometimes. I mean, we've done it before, but we've recognized that it doesn't help our sport. And so it's something that we're really trying to improve on. Hence, our calendars are coming out so early. So everyone get on board and work with us. It's very frustrating when we're trying to do so much and to build the sport when everyone else isn't really getting on board. Stop leaving it to us to just do it. I know we are the sole driver and we are the sort of the best in the business, but work with us because we're all going to benefit from it. Like I said, in the next couple of years, we're going to see something totally different that's never been done with pool before. We can't just rely on us to do that. We need the help. There's only so much we can kind of do. So again, let's just all work together and give the fans what they want, which is event after event.
So Jim had a good question out there. How many spectators are you looking at for the Moscone Cup this year?
We're just trying to finalize the venue and we're trying to finalize the seating plan because...
Come on, Ali Pally.
It's going to be a very different configuration to what we've worked with before because of COVID restrictions. I don't think we're going to be able to get in what we did in 2019. Or
2019, and that was 2,200 people, I believe, right?
Yeah, 2018. I don't think we're going to be in a position to do that. Maybe we're looking at 2,400. It was 3,000 that we were trying to work for Moscone. Correct. That was it, sorry.
Yeah, it was 25. Yeah, the seating was 2,500, yes, for the Ali Pally in 2019.
It was 2,500, and then we, 2019 in Vegas, we were 1,700 or 1,800.
Yes, then something like that.
Ali Pally for 3,000. Obviously, that didn't happen. We went behind closed doors. I think we're going to get about 2,400. If this configuration works, we'll get 2,400 in there. So as soon as we can get confirmation on that, we'll get the venue, we'll get the dates, and we'll get everyone some plans so they can actually see what they're buying a ticket for. What we don't want to do is release seats. The reason why there's a delay is Dana put tickets on sale and people don't know what they're buying, and then they get to the event, they complain about where they're sitting. What we want to do is we want to show everyone where you're actually sitting, what your viewing is going to be, so everyone has a clearer and better idea of what they're buying a ticket for. So that's why it's taking some time. So just be patient. We'll get it out as soon as possible.
Between Jim and I, We're gonna find a little section of the crowd that we can go right next to each other with the queued up crowd and Jim's crowd, and between the two of us, we're gonna have 55 tickets booked right now. So, who wants to jump in on that? That'll be fun. all right. So, and then the last question I have for you is: you have to give us your prediction for the World Nine Ball. Who's gonna be in the finals and who's gonna win?
Nate, the event is actually called the World Pool Championship, but I'll forgive you this time.
Okay.
Remember, nine balls. We remove nine ball from all our events. The whole thing is that we globalize pool. No matter what discipline, we globalize pool. I don't know. I think it's going to be tough out there, and you've got someone like Alex Kazakis. I actually think someone like Alex Kazakis is now going to come on for a really good run of events. It's such a shame that we don't have an event every month, because he could probably clean up. I think he's in a strong position. Look, I think it can go to anyone, to be totally honest with you. There's a different field of players out there. There's going to be a different level of pressure out there for that final, you know, for the semis and the final. Whoever does win it, I will get the bottle of champagne and open it for them, because it will be a tough grind. And they will be very well deserved. So I couldn't even tell you who's going to win it.
Under the toughest conditions, too. That Matchroom stream table. Oof. That's where the champions become champions.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, I can let you get to your parents and let you have a little bit of a breather before you have to go right back to the grind.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you for all the work that you're doing for this industry. And until next time, thank you, everybody, for tuning in.
Thanks, Nate. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Hey everyone, thanks again for listening. If you've liked what you've heard and you want to contribute to the future content that will be made, consider joining the podcast's Patreon at www.patreon.com/queueitup. Becoming a Patreon of the podcast will help to create all of the future content that the podcast will have. Special shout out to Dave Peters, Aaron Taylor, Pete Silsby, Morgan Lupton, Ben Young, Robert Miller, Andy Morse, and Bill Pelham for your generous contributions to the podcast's Patreon. If you ever need any more information on what the Patreon system is or how you can contribute outside of the Patreon, please reach out to the podcast or Nate himself. If you would like to contribute to the podcast for free, consider sharing any podcasts or the podcast page on Facebook itself. Also, leaving a review and a rating if you listen through iTunes. It helps others find the podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back soon with another episode of the Queue It Up podcast.